the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We find ourselves coming to the end of our liturgical year. We are on the verge of starting a new one. Next Sunday will be Advent 1, and it will mark the beginning once again of our traveling together through the story of Jesus Christ, through the story of God and his saving work among his people. But before we move on with the telling of that story again for another year, we end this year's telling of it. And we do that by celebrating Christ the King. Now, looking at our gospel reading, we might rightly say that there are a few passages that would pair better with our assumptions about what a king is. Like Jesus' entry into Jerusalem with the crowds shouting, Hosanna, or the visit from three kings following his birth, or even one of the resurrection appearances in which Jesus does miraculous things like walking through locked doors. But none of those are appointed. Today's passage offends our sensibilities and hurts our hearts if we really let it in. Our natural human reaction is to flinch and turn away. A ridiculed, helpless man with a sign that was intended to be derogatory hanging over his head. Having his last conversation on earth, gasping for breath, offering his perpetrators forgiveness, promising to remember a dying criminal, assuring him that they'll be together in paradise. It says a lot about our King when we use this passage. One way to understand the scene we see playing out before us in the gospel today is through the lens of one of the scenes we just watched today in our new Faith and Film series. We're watching Audrey Hepburn in The Nun's Story. It's a beautiful movie. One of its central themes is her character's learning to live out the life of humility that she is called to embody as a nun. We just watched a scene where she comes to the leader of the chapter house she is staying in to seek guidance with her trouble. She asks the senior nun, "How do we know when we are humble?" The older nun responds, "When we can accept a real humiliation." These short and simple lines are a theme for this nun's entire story. And the idea of humility is a theme for the entire life of Jesus Christ, our King. From the very beginning, we can see the humility of the life he will lead. When there's no room at the inn for his pregnant mother, she and her husband are forced to find shelter in a manger among the farm animals. It's here, in these humble surroundings, not in a fine palace or even under the roof of a roadside tavern, that our King will be born. When Jesus begins his public ministry, he preaches to his hometown, to the people who know him well. Finding a non-responsive audience, he humbly sets out for the countryside, not letting their tepid response quench the fire that burns in his heart for declaring the coming of God's kingdom. When the scribes accuse him of being an agent of Satan because of the miracles he performed, the casting out of demons and the healings, he does not respond with a show of force or power, but instead humbly continues on his way, seeking out those in need of his healing touch. When the Pharisees accuse him of being a sinner because he talks with sinners, breaks bread with sinners, and stays under the roof of sinners, he does not condemn them for their judgmental ways. Instead, he humbly reminds them that he has come not for the righteous who have no need for forgiveness, but for the sinner, for the lost, for the very people who need to know most and experience most the loving mercy of God. He humbly took all that they hurled at him in stride, never letting them keep him from his mission and never letting them keep him from the people who needed him most. When his time on this earth was drawing short, Jesus used some of his last moments to humble himself to his closest followers. He literally gets down on his hands and knees and washes their dirty feet. He places himself in the position of great humility so that they might begin, finally start to begin to see what his entire life and ministry has been about. And so ultimately we come to our scene from today. Hanging from a cross, he continues to offer mercy. His life fading out of him, he continues to tell the lost that they have been found and will be with him in eternity. When his enemies, when this world tried to humiliate him one last time, he instead humbly took on all of their sins, all of the sins of the world, all of our sins, and is raised up into glory. He transformed their humiliation into everlasting life. As we end one year's telling of this story and prepare for another year of its telling, let us stop and reflect that both the end and the beginning are stories of humility. The humility of a king willing to sacrifice everything for everything on a cross. A king born in the humblest of surroundings so that we might come to know the grace of his life and take our place in his eternal story. We retell this story year after year because it is a story that we are called to, that we are called to be a part of. Jesus Christ calls us to join him in his risen life, to join him in his eternal life. And just as he entered this world in humility, lived in this world in humility, and died in this world in humility, so too are we called to humility. How do we know when we are humble? When we are willing to let Jesus Christ into our hearts. When we are willing to take our place in the great telling of his story, following in the way of his humble cross.